This is Jay Sekulow. We've got breaking news. Democrats reportedly scared about Biden's State of the Union speech tonight.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Sekulow. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jay Sekulow.
Well, if you hadn't had enough politics for the weeks, tonight is the State of the Union. So President Biden, look, the State of the Union usually during an election year is a political speech. There's always been some theatrics. We know that. It's a very pomp and circumstance kind of thing. But you remember the year that Nancy Pelosi decided to rip up President Trump's speech on live TV. And everybody let that go. It was like no big deal. You talk about disrespectful. But the left let that go. They thought that was perfectly fine. She just ripped it up right there in front of them, basically. So tonight is going to be a political speech. Quietly, the Democrats are saying, or at least they're worried about, how it's going to be perceived. And I think that is an issue, Logan, that's becoming kind of front and center in this whole political moment we're in.
Yeah, I think it'll be different. I think a lot of people will be looking at this really under a microscope. However, I believe, if I'm the sort of one to pontificate a bit, knowing media and how things are working, I think you'll probably have a shrunker Joe Biden than ever by any means necessary. And I think you'll probably have a speech that is well-prepared, well-rehearsed, and is taken care of because they know that's what people are going to be looking at. President Biden seems to get off track, off target, slurring when he's referring to cards, when he's trying to get something from the top of his memory. However, if this is as prepped as it can be, this will be the moment where they go, see, you're wrong. And I think that's what you're going to see from the pundits. Right now, though, internally, we know everyone is scared.
How are you going to, let me ask you this. Obviously, they're playing this for the political part because this is his last State of the Union before, this could be his last State of the Union.
Yeah.
So, depending on the election results. So, how do you think they play it tonight?
Who specifically?
The Democrats. Do you think?
Again, I think they'll play it as a win regardless. And look, just as Republicans do as well. You play it as, oh, it was great, it was victorious, it was strong, it was, you know, whatever, ignoring what the chaos in the world is happening right now. And I think you're going to have a lot of that too. You're going to have a lot of breezing over what's going on. And I think you're going to be talking about some pretty hot button topics, but not the ones that really are the concern to most Americans. So I think you will probably have a lot of talk about life. You'll have to talk about IVF, these things that have come up now over the last few months, which are important topics to discuss, by the way. I'm not saying they're not, but what you're probably going to see is very limited about the border. You're going to see very limited about the drug crisis, the things that are not as easily campaignified. Yeah. And I think that's what you're going to have too, is another event that will feel like a campaign stop. When you have a response also coming from a new senator from last term, from Katie Britt, Alabama, young, could be someone who really could have a moment tonight. I'm looking forward to watching that. I've met her before. She's great, articulate.
She's on the list for potential VP.
She is a great representative of what even the South can look like, which I think is important too for a lot of the American voters. There's no way you can look at her and go, wow, this is an embarrassing thing that's coming out of here. I think she will do a good job. So you have two moments that tonight, I think a lot of people will be tuning in. I do think that it will have decent ratings because the world is a bit in chaos. You're coming after Super Tuesday. The political season's a little hotter than ever. I think now is when people start paying attention.
Coming up on the broadcast, by the way, we're going to be talking about a case we have where a school in Indiana has ordered students not to pray before their track meet. And the coach actually said, I do not let me see you doing this. So this may end up in federal court by this afternoon. We're going to talk more about that, but that's a reason for you to support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice. Of course, we've got the case in Nevada, where we're also representing students who were basically required to read pornography. So, Logan.
Yeah, if you've been following the ACLJ for a long time, these are sort of the old school topics we always have been in. And by the way, we've always been working at them. Even if you don't hear about them, even if they're not the number one story we're discussing because they're not the number one story in the world when the world is on fire, we are still out there working on the individual level, whether that's a kid in Nevada, whether that's a team who just wants to simply pray, whether that is chaplains being involved in your school system. We're going to discuss that also coming up, but we couldn't do it without your support. So support us now during this Life and Liberty Drive. Any amount is doubled. Go to aclj.org. Do it right now. We'll be right back with more on Sekulow. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Secula. We are discussing sort of the internal freakout going on with the State of the Union tonight. We even have some quotes that come in from some anonymous House Democrats who told Axios that they are nervous. They are worried about the ability for President Biden to speak without blowing things. And then on the other hand, you have exactly what I thought, which is admitting, they said, likely to make mistakes during his speech. Trump made mistakes as well. Biden is going to make slips. And I think that the key thing is his energy level. And I actually will give them that. I think that is the key takeaway. I think all of us are a little forgiving on if you say a word. I mean, we'll do it here 20 times during this broadcast today. If you're live on a microphone, look, you're live in regular life. A word slips out, the wrong word. No one cares about one word being wrong. What they care about is continual, what seems like diminishing decline. What feels like it just keeps getting worse and worse. When you physically don't seem up for the job and mentally don't seem up for the job, it's not about a word here or there.
This is how Karine Jean-Pierre, their press spokesman, this is how they're kind of framing it for tonight.
The president's looking forward to not just being in front of Congress, but talking directly to the American people. Just think about it. He'll be talking to folks who are sitting on their couches, sitting around the kitchen table, and letting them know how he sees the vision for our country, talking about how he's going to build on these accomplishments that has delivered gains for the American families.
You know, it's interesting that he's framing it this way. They're keeping the expectations low. I think if he just gets through the speech in a mediocre way, they're going to deem that to be a win, Andy.
Yeah, isn't that sad to say that we are satisfied, or we would be satisfied, or the Democrats would be satisfied with a mediocre performance by the President of the United States instead of seeking excellence, instead of seeking to aspire to the imperial virtues of excellence and acuity? We're happy if you're mediocre. We're happy if you can stumble through this thing with the least amount of flaws. What a sad thing to aspire to. What a sad thing to say that you're looking forward to the President of the United States doing, coming across in an average way without really making himself look completely foolish. This is a very sad state of affairs, folks.
I think our friend Mike Johnson, though, said a very interesting, you heard what Karine Jean-Pierre said, but now listen to what the Speaker of the House has to say about this. And I think Mike got it exactly right.
He's going to try to stand up here and convince the American people that the State of the Union is strong and that we're on the right track. But everybody knows that's just simply not true. The State of the Union is in decline.
I think that the reality is, if you look at the cost of living for most Americans right now, and we're going to talk about this with Harry Hutchinson in the last segment of the broadcast, the economy alone is topsy-turvy. And it's very difficult for people people are going paycheck to paycheck. But, you know, everybody's laughing at the prices of fast food right now.
Yeah,
you're not laughing. You're kind of half crying.
Well, I think you're seeing that nationwide, not even just fast food. You're seeing a big issue for a lot of people. I mean, this is not a concern. I've always said, you know, I shouldn't be questioning it. You know, there are certain points to your life where you should not be going through a drive-thru and going, what in the world? But the fact that people on all ends of the financial spectrum are going through going, it's $100 to get this pizza? You know, like, what's happening here? This is that moment, that sort of awakening that is happening, because the tide, it's like, you know, going to Disney World and getting the price for the buffet. You look at it and eventually go, wait a second, did I just pay $150 for my family to eat here? But the problem is that's now nationwide and everywhere. You're on vacation money everywhere you go.
That's true, Logan. You know, I was saying the other day, I went and got...
Are you talking about a Filet-O-Fish?
Yes, a Filet-O-Fish. You knew I was going to do this.
He and Pam.
Yeah. Because me and Jay's wife, Pam, have one thing that we love more than anything in the world.
Well,
and
I don't
fast
think anything
food.
In the world. She loves her grandchildren and her children more than the filet
fish. Wait a minute. Let me finish. In fast food.
Yeah. Okay.
She loves her grandchildren more than anything. But in fast food, we like a good filet of fish. We go to McDonald's and it's $5.39 and it's the size of a crystal. It's not a good fish anymore. So what do? I get two, which my wife gets mad at because I'm eating two fish filets. Or you go to McDonald's and get a Happy Meal for $18. Or one of our producers says he went and got a burrito or Chipotle's for $20 and then even give him guacamole. What kind of life is this? This is not the way it should be.
All right. Well, if you have questions or comments, this is the perfect time to call. I feel like you riled up a lot of people. 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110.
Wendy's was going to go to like primetime pricing.
They the dynamic pricing. They decided against it. Actually dropped their prices. I think it was all marketing. I think that was just a marketing.
Burger,
so you were talking about Wendy's. That's what happened. All right. Give us a call. Like I said, 1-800-684-3110. I know we're goofing off, but it is really, it's a true problem. that a lot of people are seeing right now. Again, the fact that we're thinking about it means the people who really need it.
I know.
When you're actually talking about the people who really live on, you know, cheapest food options available in America, which is a lot of people.
It is.
It's a big difference when your Happy Meal is now $3 more, whatever it is. Not to say that specific one is, because I don't know the facts on that. But when you, like I said, when you see this and the service fees and the charges that are happening, it becomes harder and harder.
This is where, you know, the rubber's going to meet the road for Joe Biden tonight, I think. He's going to get through this. They'll be, you know, they'll count how many standing ovations they get, because that's what they do with presidents, Republican or Democrats. But the real question is going to be for the American people here. You know, it's the old question, are you better off than you were 4 years ago? But I think it's even deeper than that now. How's he going to address Ukraine and the Russia situation? How's he going to address China? How's he going to address the border? How's he going to address inflation? How's he going to address the prices of gas and the lack of energy independence? To me, the substantive questions, they got a real problem.
Well, he really does have a real problem, because it is substantive issues. I know we're talking about fast food, and that is a problem because a lot of people subsist on that. They really do. And when you talk about a president who's going to get up and say, I picked this country up and it was flat on its back economically, that just ain't true, folks. It's just not so, because food prices, and I don't want to get into Harry Hutchinson's territory, but they've gone up, I think, about 24%. An egg cost a dollar, I think. Now, and that's not... That's just a regular old egg, cost a dollar. And we're talking about gas prices because he won't drill. And we're talking about Ukraine in a war, the war of attrition, that I don't know where it's going.
Where's the end of that one?
How do you argue against Putin saying, I'm just taking back what belongs to me? Ukraine was part of Russia and the Soviet Union. I'm just taking it back. Or that was the heart of Christianity in the Rus. But we don't answer those questions. Or what about the disaster in the Middle East? We had the Abraham Accords. We had peace in the Middle East. We had a president who was very strong and respected and supported Israel. We don't have that anymore.
So here's the question. What are the issues that you think are most important to you as you not only look at the State of the Union, but also as we talk about the upcoming election? We're going to take your calls at 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. You know, the State of the Union, this could be his last State of the Union. I want people to understand the gravity of the moment here for a person like President Biden, or anybody that's in running for office for the second time in your second term. This could be his last State of the Union message. So the question becomes, what is the table he's going to set for the American people? What is he going to focus on? You'll get a little bit of that information later tonight before the speech. But it's going to be very interesting to see how he positions the situation.
Yeah, they've started to kind of leak out a little bit here and there of what they're going to discuss. I think we all have a better idea. We've all been through the State of the Union enough. To me, a lot of people will watch it. Like you said, will a lot of people tune off? I think this year, probably more than the last four, they'll probably be watching, because this is really, Tuesday was the kickoff kind of formally to the presidential election. Now that you have two definitive candidates that are running.
You have the two presumptive
and
nominees.
And you had people like a Michelle Obama saying pretty much, I'm not doing this. Quit asking me. Not that she wouldn't jump in, but in the last day or so, pretty much making it definitive, I'm not really interested in politics and getting involved in this situation.
You want to take Ronald's call, or do you want to save that one for the break?
We can take him really quick. Ronald, South Carolina, you're on the air.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. Yeah, I think the State of the Union address from Biden is going to be literally another rehash of the previous ones. Excuse me. The previous ones, and generally what's going to happen is it's going to give a snow job.
Yeah, it's politics, especially during a political year.
It's even the gig when it's, any president. You go up there, you
it's a lot of ceremony. It's required under the Constitution.
Correct.
So it's a required...
Do we know what justices, Supreme Court justices, will be there? Always interesting. I'd like to see who they decided to put. You know, when you're coming off of the big win last week, who do you put...
Well, the Chief Justice is always there. Sotomayor, Kagan tend to go. Some of the retired justices like to go.
Announce it, though. I wonder if
Justice Breyer will be there, of course.
Yeah, he's retired.
He loves these events.
Yeah. Well, it'll be fun. Have you ever gone? I've never gone to the State of the Union.
No, I've invited never been. A couple
times. I was invited during when I was representing the former president. I'm trying to think, did we go? We may have gone once and hung out in the upstairs while we were working on something that we needed to talk to him about afterwards.
Yeah. I don't know. I've never been. It'd be interesting. All right. Well, we are also in the middle of our Life and Liberty Drive. You're going to hear me talk about it get used to it, because we can't do this broadcast, we can't do our legal work without your continual support. So I encourage you right now, go to aclj.org. This is a nationwide battle that we are engaged in for faith, for life, for liberty, and we can't continue these critical fights without your donations. So we encourage you, not only at any amount, become an ACLJ champion. What that means is you become a recurring monthly supporter, so you can join us in the fight along us each and every month. And that gives us a great baseline budget to know what we can engage in. And we can't do it without you. Like I said, all of this work is done at absolutely no cost to you, whether that is you watching this broadcast or whether that is the legal work. All of that is done by supporters of the organization. So again, we can't do it without you. Help us establish that firm foundation that we can all stand on right now. Go to aclj.org to have your gifts doubled. That's aclj.org. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the broadcast. Welcome to Seculo. Again, we're going to take your calls, 1-800-684-3110. We wanted to pivot. You know, I was talking about the work of the ACLJ in the last segment and how important it is and how important it is to have your support. And we have something new to talk about.
We do. We've got a case which may turn into federal litigation in the next 4 hours, out of Indiana. And this is, you know, we get a lot of these, and we don't talk about them often, but this one was pretty egregious. I mean, that you've got a situation where a track team, the students at Lake Central High School, wanted to gather for prayer with the students. In other words, student-led, student-initiated, which is the Mergens case we argued, voluntary student-led prayer is constitutionally protected. That's what the Supreme Court said in 1990 in Board of Education for Westside Community Schools versus Mergens. It's a case we argued. It was 8-1 decision. Then in a Santa Fe case involving football games and prayer, they're saying the school can't get heavily involved in it, but Justice Stevens wrote that there's nothing in the Constitution that prohibits students from praying before, after, or during the school day. This went even further, though, CC, because not only were they told not to, but, I mean, the coach specifically said, I better not see you together as a group.
Yeah, he literally threatened them and said, don't let me see you do that again. And so not only did he stop them from praying, he told them, you know, he doesn't want to see them doing it again, and they can't even have the appearance of a prayer. Basically, the only thing that they can do is stand in small groups and just stand there for a moment of reflection, which, like you said, is completely violates the Constitution. Yeah. And I think, you know, the Tinker statement that students don't shed their constitutional rights to freedom of speech or expression at the schoolhouse gate, that's the one that, you know, completely applies to this. Sure. These students can absolutely pray before the track meet, during the track meet, anytime that they want to pray, they can do that.
They're not asking for the school to endorse it. And the Supreme Court has said that students are mature enough, especially in high school, to understand that a school isn't endorsing everything, it just allows to happen. But the case law on this is crystal clear, Andy, yet this school district, and we've sent a demand letter, if we don't get an answer by this afternoon, we're going to federal court on this.
That's right. There is no question as to what the law is on this. The vigilant protection of constitutional freedoms is nowhere more vital than in the community of American schools. That's not me. That's the Supreme Court of the United States in 1969 in Tinker versus Des Moines Independent School District. You don't leave your constitutional rights at the schoolhouse gate or the door. And what this coach did was an intimidation of these young students, telling them, don't let me hear you do that again. I can't believe that in the year 2024, somebody would be making a statement like that under such ignorance of what the law is.
Why would you even make a statement like that, period? Making the statement alone, Logan, that way is outrageous to a student.
Well, I think a lot of times they're uneducated. They don't know exactly what they can do and can't do, but think, oh no, this people, there's kids praying. I feel like I read somewhere in my handbook that I'm not supposed to allow that. So we have to step in.
And then we have to embarrass the students.
Embarrass the students.
I better not see you doing this again or what? What are you going to, let me ask you, coach, what are you going to do? If the students, let's say their lawyers instruct them this afternoon to go ahead and pray if we don't hear from the school district, what are you going to do, coach? Have them not run in your track meet? Or wait a minute, you're going to get them suspended from school because they were engaged in a prayer? So, coach, what exactly are you going to do here? If these students do gather, don't let me catch you gathering, you can disqualify them from their meet? I doubt that.
So I want you to walk through now, and maybe CC, you can, what's the process now and where are we at legally? Because I think a lot of people are probably listening. There's probably a lot of people watching, listening, going, oh, I've had something like this happen. I didn't even know that this is something I could get engaged in. Obviously, if you go to aclj.org/help, by the way, we'll get you, attached to a lawyer for absolutely free, aclj.org/help, if you have a similar situation or something like this. But I guess walk people through the next steps of what the ACLJ does.
Well, and I'll even start there. When people fill out our help form, what is great is it does go directly to a lawyer. So this help form came in on Monday to let you know how quickly we act on when we get contacted. Came in Monday. We had the demand letter out yesterday, and the event is happening today. And if the school does not respond and we do not get the appropriate response back, we will be filing in federal court today. So, you know, that's how quickly we can act on this. And again, people just need to fill out the legal help request form on our website. And this is also when all of our donors come into play and are champions, because we need that support to be able to turn quickly on these cases.
I actually want to bring something up to our digital team, and thanks to our digital team. We have an amazing, robust team. You may think people fill out a form, it goes straight to a lawyer, no big deal. The kind of content we do, the people we're talking to, we're constantly under attack. I will tell you, this week, we were under an attack on our website, to where those forms being filled out there was one point we were getting about 900 an hour that were coming in from bots and from people trying to shut down our website.
Did we ever find out who that was?
You don't find that out, really.
I never know.
Okay. But you can probably draw your own conclusions on what's happening there. So think about that. They don't want this voice to be heard, whether that's our broadcast, whether that's getting you legal help, because of the topics we're talking about right now. Now, thankfully, because of your support, we have an amazing digital team who is able to shut all that down, which a lot of organizations do not, by the way. They would have no idea what to do. But thankfully, we have some of the best programmers out there to make sure we stayed on top of it, got it set up, shut down within hours, and back in business. That's what's happening. You saw that. Look, you saw that happen on some of the biggest platforms in the country over the last couple of weeks, whether that's your cellular service or your social media platforms. It's happening to organizations like the ACLJ and specifically us. And again, if we weren't able to have that support, you probably don't understand that. You probably don't understand that there are dozens and dozens of people working just on making sure our coding works, making sure that everything is functioning. And when we are under attack, they know what to do to fix it.
Let me give you the facts of this case. So like Central High, that's where this takes place in Indiana, students are on the high school track team. They've been instructed by their track coach now not to gather with other students and pray before the track meet, which, by the way, completely violates their First Amendment rights to freedom of speech and freedom of association. And specifically, in following the incident, other teammates, student-led prayer, the coach said, "Don't let me see you do that again." In other words, don't let me see you do that again, or I guess there's consequences. We've notified the administration about this and are still waiting for a response. They got the letter. The superintendent of schools initially contacted us saying he'll look into it. And then, of course, we've heard crickets. So I'm going to tell the school district, I don't know if anybody in this particular Lake Central school district is listening, but to the superintendent of schools and to the director of athletics, let me make something very clear. You respond promptly, and promptly is way before this track meet at 3:30 today, or we will see you in federal court and you will lose. You will not win. Because you cannot stop students from voluntarily praying before their track meet. And you can't threaten them with, don't let me see you do that again. And as I said, coach, what exactly are you going to do if they do? You're going to fail them. You're going to throw them out of the school. You're going to throw them out of the track meet because they're engaged in a prayer before a track meet by the students. I'm getting incensed about this because I've only been litigating these things, Andy, with you for 40 years. But this is absurd, as you said in the last segment, in 2024.
You would think that somebody would have known better, and this coach would have been taught better by his superiors before he made a ridiculous statement like that. And the fact that we have to pursue these matters in the first quarter of the 21st century, when this law has been settled since the year 1969, if not before, is ridiculous. But we are ready, coach. We're coming after you. Just know it. Get ready for it. Gonna happen.
All right. We will be back for the second half hour of the broadcast. Don't lose us. Stay right here. If you're watching online, you get a full hour. Most radio stations as well, if you're listening. But if you don't, find us on aclj.org right now. We are in the middle of our Life and Liberty Drive. If we lose you here, we encourage you right now, go to aclj.org, make that donation, support the work. Can't do it without you. If you're watching on screen, you can go ahead and scan that QR code. We'll be right back with more on Seculo.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever, this is Seculo. And now your host, Jay Sekulow.
All right, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We've talked about the State of the Union. We talked about our school situation with the students that were involved in a track meet or getting ready to pray. I'm going to talk about another case out of Nevada a little bit. But before we do that, we have calls that have been coming in. Let's go ahead and take one during this segment, Logan.
Yep, let's go to Taryn, who's calling in Kansas on line one. Yep, you're up. Taryn's watching on YouTube. Welcome.
Hi, Taryn.
Hi, gentlemen. Thank you for everything that you do. I just wanted to make a comment about the State of the Union address. Excuse me. And I'm hoping to hear more adult-like behavior from our leaders, from Trump, from Biden. I think the American people overall have just have been turned off by the childish behavior, the name-calling, the tit-for-tat. And there, it seems like they spend more time doing that than running the country.
Look, I think that your sentiment is probably reflective of a lot of people's right now. I'd like to see substance. I think for both candidates right now, because I call them both candidates, because President Biden is clearly going to be the nominee for the Democrats and President Trump is clearly going to be the nominee for the Republicans. So we know who the nominees are. I think they don't need to be talking about what happened in 2020. I don't think they need to be talking about what took place in 2016 with Russia and the hoax and all of that. I think they need to be looking forward with policy. And I think if you look forward at policy, then you have a clear distinction of which way do you want to go. And that gives the American people a real choice.
Yeah, but I don't know if either of them are really great about not looking back.
No.
But that's kind of maybe the problem, the Achilles heel on both of them, which is...
They love looking back.
They love looking back at the negatives. They don't look back at the positives. I think one of my biggest complaints of President Trump's campaign of 2020 was not kind of showing the success he had, not talking about the Middle East, which became, what, the biggest story. You could flash back to me the day of after President Biden was... certified, and I said, guess what? All of you are going to be talking about the Middle East in just a few months or a couple of years. You're going to forget how peaceful it is right now, and here we are in probably the most unsettling time. But President Trump didn't run on that. I hope he runs on it this time.
Yeah.
I hope he runs on, remember how good it was in the Middle East. No one was talking about it, crushed ISIS and moved on. I hear him saying that more than he did, but he barely talked about that during the first campaign.
No, it's got to be
forward. All they'll do is talk about how, you know, the election was this or this happened or, you know, threat to our democracy. Move forward. Let's move on with our lives. Look, I think when people don't want to think about what happened 4 years ago, truthfully. They don't want to think about the fact that we lived through how horrible and chaotic it was and has been over the last 4 years. And thankfully, over the last year or two, we've started to turn that corner into somewhat of normalcy, and then giant wars happened.
Yeah. You know, David Axelrod said a very interesting comment on CNN day before yesterday. He said, for the Democrats, my warning to you is, if you think you're going to win an election on, you know, we've got to save democracy, so don't elect Trump, that's not going to work. And he said, to my friends in the Republican Party, if it's going to be grievance and looking backwards and, you know, it was stolen in 2020, that's not going to work either. And I think actually, Andy, Axelrod is right.
He is right. He's a good strategist. I don't particularly agree with the strategies that he takes or the people he advises. But he knows what he's talking about when it comes to politics. And he's absolutely right. What we need to do is be forward thinking. We need to talk about who's going to help with the prices, who's going to help with the increase in taxes and things of that nature.
Here's what David Axelrod actually said. Take a listen.
There's a lot of talk from the president and others about, you know, the soul of the nation and the future of democracy. But if you're sitting around your kitchen table and talking about the future of democracy, you probably don't, you're not paying a lot of attention or don't need to the cost of the food on your table. And most Americans have more immediate concerns. Biden has to address those tomorrow night and explain how he's fighting for them.
I think this and the same thing for Trump. I think they both have to get into that. Folks, let me tell you what we want to explain, and that is we are in our Life and Liberty Drive, and your support of the ACLJ is absolutely critical. Now, we're in a Life and Liberty Drive. What does that mean? That means any amount you donate to the ACLJ, it's going to be matched, and you become really part of our core of how we continue to operate, whether it is cases at the Supreme Court or, like I said, the student cases. Yep. All of these become very important.
That's right. We can't do it without you. As we head into this next break, I encourage you go to ACLJ.org. Make that donation right now. Become an ACLJ champion, which all is saying is, hey, if you can give $15 a month, great. If you can give $5 a month, great. If you can give $100, awesome. Whatever you can do. And that helps us create these matching funds as well, which is really amazing. Go to ACLJ.org. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Secula. We are taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. If you're on hold, we'll get you up in just a few minutes here. We do want to keep talking about, though, a lot of movements that's happening in the ACLJ today. It's not just about the State of the Union. We know a lot of you tuned in to watch our coverage of what we think the State of the Union is going to be. We talked a lot about that in the first segment.
We'll say the State of the Union is strong. The State of the Union is great. The State of the Union is incredible. That's what they're going to say.
Yeah.
But let me tell you what they're saying.
Ignore the top.
Yeah, let me tell you what they're saying in Indiana to students. They're saying, if I catch you praying again, you're going to have consequences. Students voluntarily praying. In Nevada, I want to switch to that case for a moment. Give everybody an update. We had a big win. The school will try to get the case dismissed. You remember the facts of the case. Student is in the drama class, and then it goes from bad to worse pretty quickly, Cece.
Yeah. So drama class in Nevada, again, you have a teacher that thinks that they have complete control over the students, and she assigns this monologue to be read, and our client actually pulls a monologue that was profane, sexually explicit, and obscene. And this 15-year-old girl was forced to read this in front of her class. Meanwhile, when her mother finds out what is going on in the classroom, she goes to a school board meeting to let the school board know what's going on. And as she's reading just the first two sentences of what this poor girl had to read, just the first two sentences, she gets shut down immediately because the school board doesn't want to hear that kind of profanity.
Let me take you inside the school board right now here. This is what happened when the mother went to read what the daughter was required to read.
This will be horrifying for me to read to you, but that will give you perspective on how she must have felt when her teacher required her to memorize this and to act it out in front of her entire class. I don't love you. It's not you. It's just, I don't like your dick or any dick in that case. I cheated, Joe. I'm sorry.
This is propaganda. Forgive me.
Excuse me. I don't. Thank you so much for your. Thank you for your comment. Forgive me. We're not using profanity. Simply, this is a public meeting. I ask for decorum. If you don't want me to read it to you, what was that like for my 15-year-old daughter to have to memorize pornographic material?
Here's what it's like for your 15-year-old daughter. She just won in federal court. Beat back the motion to dismiss that the school board filed to try to silence her. There is a claim also of tortious. A claim for assault and battery, the teacher inappropriately touching the student. And then you have, of course, the student's First Amendment claims both under the U.S. Constitution and under the Constitution for the state of Nevada. So here's what you have. An outrageous action by a teacher who knew what was in this monologue and mandated that the student say it anyways, even when the student was, and of course the student was 14, 15 years old, but knew, Andy, not to say this.
This really makes me sick. This is what our schools have degenerated into.
Yes, unfortunately.
Some teacher coming up with a filthy, profane, obscene dialogue and going to a 15-year-old kid and telling her to memorize it and read it before a class. And when the mother recites that in open school board meeting, the chairman of the school board says, we don't use profanity. Well, what about what your teacher did in that school? What are you going to do about that teacher? And then we got to go to federal court and you try to get the case dismissed when you should have said we did wrong and we should be ashamed and embarrassed of ourselves. That is what our schools have degenerated into, Jay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Well, the question now, of course, is now that we've beat them back, it's going to be the discovery. And in the discovery, we're going to find out what's happened here.
Yeah, and really, I'm going to jump back even to the court getting that right, because they got it. They denied the motion to dismiss because we sufficiently alleged that her, you know, First Amendment speech rights have been violated. And they say, you know, that monologue lacked a legitimate pedagogical purpose, which means it was not a benefit to the education, which is exactly what Andy's saying. We have these teachers that go kind of rogue and require these monologues and different things to be read, and it has no benefit to the education. So we are in discovery, and we actually have found some interesting things in discovery in this case. So it'll be interesting to see this go forward. Obviously, the court denied the motion to dismiss, so we are going forward with this case.
All right, change of gears.
Yeah, I think we got to break in on this.
This is a breaking news item. And let me tell you, the State of the Union is not good. Because the guy's going to, you know, you got to set it up, Logan. But the thing that always concerns me about people like Joe Biden is they love getting us in wars.
Yeah, we just got a breaking news alert that came in, and that is the headline is to be announced tonight at the State of the Union, the U.S. is to build a pier to allow aid into Gaza by sea. So that is a breaking news piece. It says officials said President Biden was expected to announce in a State of the Union on Thursday the U.S. military will construct a floating pier off the Gaza Strip to let ships deliver tons of food and other aid. And it's unclear if Israel will be involved in that. But of course, the kind of the kicker coming out of this, the project will take several weeks and include hundreds, if not thousands, of U.S. troops on ships just offshore, which keeps with President Biden's promise that no American soldier will be on the ground inside of Gaza as the conflict rages.
And what are they going to do when they attack the convoy? Or
if you're talking about, if you're building a floating bridge, a flotilla, like I said, I mean, you're within striking distance.
By the way, Hamas turned down the request for the ceasefire. So I want all these protesters to say ceasefire now. Hamas said no. You know why Hamas said no? And they're pretty much getting it out there now, by the way, because there may not be any hostages alive. They say they can't certify how many there are. But Andy, we've been to this region many times. Yep. We've worked in this region many times. Yep. You put U.S. troops on a ship on the shores of Gaza. Rest assured, the Houthis or Hezbollah or someone is going to attack them, and we're going to get ourselves in the middle of the war.
There is no doubt about that. You have a floating pier with access to the main. Doesn't Biden understand geography? There's the Mediterranean Sea, and then there's the continent of Asia, the Middle East, the Gaza Strip, 25 miles of land that's 7 miles wide along the Mediterranean Sea, and you're going to put a pier there, and you're going to serve the Gazans with food, clothing, shelter, and so forth, and nothing's going to happen to American soldiers on that pier ever. They're going to be immune. What a stupid idea.
Well, because it fits a narrative that for somehow, and I don't know how this has gotten into people's heads, that America, by being the great savior and coming in and does this, will somehow get Hamas on America's side? Are you kidding me? This is the problem. You want to protest in the streets, go out, do whatever you want to do. But understand, you are never going to be the good guy to Hamas.
Yeah,
never. So guess who's going to be that big target?
Let me add to that, too. There is humanitarian effort pouring into Gaza, and Hamas steals it and diverts it. So you can build this bridge, and you can have ships come and delivering whatever, you know, the optics are, aid into Gaza. It's not going to get to the people. Hamas is going to continue to steal it and divert it.
It's a political talking point for the American voters, for American voters who are on the left, because they don't like the way that President Biden has treated the war in Israel, to go, oh, good, look, we're doing something for Gaza. Check. And at the same point, you're sending hundreds, if not thousands, of U.S. troops and putting them in harm's way.
Okay. So Will's, our producers, put up a couple of good points here. Remember the go back to Auschwitz comments coming out when there was the flotilla coming out of Turkey, originated out of other places? So you had the Gaza Freedom Flotilla in 2010. That was during the Obama administration. They tried to break a blockade. IDF released an audio recording purporting to be on a radio exchange between the Israeli Navy and the flotilla. After Israel's warnings that the ships were approaching the blockades, voices responded, go back to Auschwitz and don't forget 9/11. So listen, you're putting thousands of U.S. troops on a pier connected to Gaza. I mean, I want you to visualize this, folks. Gaza, 7 miles wide, 25 miles long. We're building a floating bridge pier that's going to have thousands of U.S. troops on the shores of Gaza. So America's going to end up, we'll be attacked, yep, and we're going to have to respond, and here we go. And this is where they are. Which was the Secretary of Defense? Was it Panetta or it was
Gates.
Bob Gates said, Joe Biden has been on the wrong side of every foreign policy decision ever made. That's not me.
We got one segment coming up left. We're going to keep talking about this. 1-800-684-3110. We'd love to hear from you about this. I'm sure we're all kind of taking this in real time. We thought there'd be a pretty casual references, obviously, to Gaza and the war in Israel. But now we're seeing a pretty big move that's going to be coming out of the State of the Union, so much so that even, like I said, I'm getting alerts from the New York Times and from everyone talking about this moment. Again, on paper, helping people out, getting humanitarian aid.
It's a disaster.
Sounds great. And that's all it is. It's just a talking point to sound great and to look great. But when all reality is, it's going to be hundreds, if not thousands, of U.S. troops put in harm's way. And again, you will not be the good guy to Hamas. They don't care for America. Don't know if you know this. They don't love America. Doesn't matter what side of this war, honestly, they ended up on. It's just not the way it goes. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. We're going to continue this discussion. Again, previewing the State of the Union. Now we really can preview it. Because now there's some meat on the bone, if you will, on what Joe Biden is going to say. And it is polarizing at best. Again, 1-800-684-3110. We're going to mobilize, figure out what we can do with this situation. ACLJ.org. We're going to get back in just a moment. We are in the middle of Life and Liberty Drive. Let's go to ACLJ.org.
Well, that's a fine how do you do to start the last thing with the broadcast off. The Biden administration announcing this is going to be their big announcement tonight. Great news. We're building a bridge, a floating disaster in the Mediterranean Sea.
A pier.
That's going to require thousands of U.S. troops off the coast of Gaza, as if the Houthis, an Iranian proxy, or Hamas, an Iranian proxy, aren't going to go after the big Satan who's now coming ashore. So before they go after the little Satan Israel, because, you know, that's the little Satan. But now we got the big Satan, in their view, by the way, not ours, coming forward. Harry Hutchins has just joined us in the studio. Harry, we were going to be talking about the economy. Obviously, we're not. We'll do that for tomorrow. What are you thinking about this? What's your sense?
Well, first, I would say that the Biden administration is infected by magical thinking. They believe that by stationing American troops and building a floating bridge, that the United States can show the world its humanitarian chops. This is an open and obvious invitation for terrorism. It's an open and obvious invitation for Hamas to strengthen itself against Israel. And at the end of the day, the question becomes, has the United States administration gotten permission, if you will, or talk to the Israelis about the implications of all of this? I think for the American people, this is a potential disaster.
I cannot even believe they're proposing this. We got calls coming. Let's go ahead and take John's call out of Arkansas.
All right, John, line one, you're up.
Hi there. This is John down in Arkansas. Yep. Your other fellow just took the words out of my mouth. Those are sovereign waters of the nation of Israel, and Biden would be in violation if he wants to go against Israel's desires. Also,
you know, it's interesting. Have we seen? I mean, this has just happened. Have we seen any reaction yet from the Israelis? So, you know, if you're 3 miles out, you're in international waterways. But Andy, when you're within 3 miles, you're into the waterways of the country. Now, technically, that is Israel. But
that's right.
The idea of putting thousands of U.S. troops there. I can't even get my head wrapped around this.
The last time we did that, put piers in water and put troops on them, was on June 6, 1944 with the invasion of Normandy.
Right.
Think about that. We had piers and American troops landing on them. And were they in the crosshairs of the Germans? Of course. It's going to be the same thing. Biden and the Democrats don't read history books. They don't understand that you don't do things like this. You have provoked Hamas. You have provoked the Houthis. You have provoked all the elements that are Iranian proxies in the region. And you've put United States troops on the line to be killed.
Well, here's what's ridiculous. We know that the ultimate goal of the Iranian regime is the destruction of the West. So the United States is always referred to as the big Satan. They want to destroy the West. They want to destroy the United States. So now we are bringing the troops there. Does anybody listening to this broadcast think that when those U.S. troops show up, nothing's going to happen to those troops? I hate to say that. I'm going to be praying for those troops. But you talk about being in harm's way, CeCe. I mean, this is the big Satan coming to your shore,
yeah,
to a town near you.
Right. It makes me sick. And it makes me think that this is all a political play on Biden's behalf, because he's been attacked by the far left for his position supporting Israel. So is this his lame attempt at the State of the Union to say, oh, look, we are actually not supporting Israel. We're going in and supporting Gaza, and we're trying to bring this humanitarian aid to them. I don't know what it is, but it is disaster. Disaster.
Yeah, pray for our troops. You know, Harry, I'm thinking about the political calculation they're making here. It's what Logan was talking about. And I don't see how that calculation comes out as a positive for the United States or for our military.
I think you're right. And one of the things that we can compare this potential effort to is what Angela Merkel did in 2015, opening German borders to millions of Syrian illegal migrants. It did not turn out well for Germany. It did not turn out well for Europe. It certainly did not turn out well in Britain. And that is one of the reasons why the British people voted for Brexit. In this particular case, Israel may not necessarily have a choice, but consequences will be borne by the American people, American soldiers, and I think at the end of the day, this will be another potential disaster which will challenge Afghanistan and the Afghanistan withdrawal under Joe Biden.
Mm. We're going to have a lot to talk about tomorrow, that's for sure, now that this has come out, and we'll make sure to stay updated if anything else like this breaks.
Is Jeff in our office in Israel? We'll find out. We're going to find out. He may be in Jerusalem, so we'll find that out. Jordan is over in our office in Strasbourg, so we'll get a European reaction to all this.
Yeah, I'll also be very interested to hear from Tulsi Gabbard. Maybe if we can get her on soon to talk about
tomorrow. Will says
we're all right. Well, that will be a fascinating conversation with active duty. Someone who
let's get her for
really
a couple
worked
of segments,
on this because I know that. It will be pretty interesting to see what happens there. So make sure you stay tuned. You can do that, by the way, if you're watching and you're new to the broadcast. We do this show every day. So we've been doing it for 25, 30 years now. We've been doing it on YouTube for a number of years, Rumble a number of years. Make sure you subscribe or follow our channel. Make sure you do that. We really appreciate it. We are live each and every day from noon to 1 Eastern. You can work your way in your own time zone to where that is. But we also put out tons of content throughout the day. So make sure you stay tuned to us. And we can't do that also without your support of the ACLJ. And when things like this break midair, which is what happened, we're able to pivot, have experts come in and talk about it. And again, tomorrow we'll have on Tulsi Gabbard. We'll have on other people who can really talk about these issues. It's a fascinating time to be an American, that's for sure, heading into the State of the Union tonight.
You know, I was just looking like on YouTube, we have 370,000 subscribers. If you're watching right now and have not subscribed, please do that. I mean, I'd love to see that at 500,000 at the end of the year, if that's possible. I don't know, it may not be.
It's possible.
But the idea that we're able to do this, and then we have the expertise in-house. So Tulsi Gabbard's part of our team, Rick Grenell part of our team, Mike Pompeo part of our team. These people know a little bit about this area, and the lawyers on this set have done a tremendous amount of work in the Middle East, so we know what we're dealing with. Putting U.S. troops there is nothing but a disaster. Let's take Walt's call.
All right, Walt's calling Ohio, line one. You're on the air, Walt.
Yes, sir. I would like to comment about that. And,
sure.
I was in the Marine Corps from 82 to 86,
thanks
and I was
service.
Stationed in Beirut, Lebanon,
yep.
when they did the Beirut bombing, and
yep.
that was Hamas at the time. And we were over there helping them and still lost 243 Marines. That was needless. It did not need to happen.
Walt, here's the truth. Nothing good's going to come of this, including getting the aid in, because Assisi said Hamas is stealing the aid. And does anybody think for a minute if you have 2,000 U.S. troops or 4,000, they're saying thousands of U.S. troops on the shores of Gaza, as Andy said the last time we did that was Normandy, what the reaction is going to be with these Iranian-backed surrogates that go out there and do Irene's bidding, including destroy. If they could kill a bunch of American troops, you know they will. So this is where you talk about elections having consequences, folks. But this is another reason to support the work of the ACLJ, because we're able to give you the information live on air with a team that knows this issue inside and out.
Yeah, but we're engaged in those fights, not just talking about it. We're actually involved in it, whether that's legally all over the world. We can't do it without you. All of this is supported by our ACLJ members, ACLJ donors, and ACLJ champions, which you can become an ACLJ champion right now. Go to ACLJ.org. Also, like we said earlier, if you need legal help, we are here for you, absolutely no cost. ACLJ.org/help. Fill out that form. You'll be attached to a lawyer immediately. But again, we are in the middle of our life and liberty drive right now, and all donations are doubled. So you can go to ACLJ.org /life and liberty. Make that donation right now. Scan the QR code on your screen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.